Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 100 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Rob are here with you this week.
Good evening, Gorn.
How are you doing?
I'm not so bad, yourself?
I'm all right, thank you. Now, we were hoping to have Natalie down here as well today, but she's vanished. But there's been traffic problems throughout Wolverhampton, as one of our guests will verify for us in a few minutes' time. So it's been a bit manic, so she may turn up partway through. You never know.
So keep
fingers crossed. Right, coming up on this 100th show, we have some special birthday greetings.
We do, yes. They're quite amusing, actually.
I've played you them already. We will be listening to those in a very short while's time. Also, we'll have music from Knoxville Highway. Bob Gessie, now he's a former guest. He's been on as part of a comedy song duo.
Oh, okay.
He's joining us as part of a sort of a country get-together.
Brilliant.
This time round, so we'll take a listen to that. And Phil Solomon joins us to tell us about his brand new book, Haunted Telford.
Ah.
So I didn't think Richard Telford was that old enough to have ghosts.
I didn't realise it was either, no. I know some places around here are, but I didn't know Telford was.
No, so. there's bits like, I suppose, Madeley and Richard Wenlock's just down the road. So
yeah.
No doubt we'll find out what's actually going on with that a bit later on.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But first of all, we have with us here, live in the studio, Luke Regan. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, you're a comedian.
I am of sorts, yes. I do bits and bobs. I'm quite getting back into the scene. I had a little break, but it's an adventure. And
a little break? Hang on, how old are you? You're about 22, aren't
you? I'm 21.
21, so... You've already had a break from a job.
I went in at 20 and had a few months off to finish my apprenticeship, and now I'm getting back into it and hoping to go full time within the next 2 years.
So you've just got a day job, you've finished off your qualifications, and now you want to jack it all in.
I figured it was a good idea to have a backup, because I mean, I know actors, there's 98% of them out to work at any one time. I'm not sure what the starting comedians are, but you've got to be pretty funny to go anywhere, and it takes about 6 years anyway. So.
Yeah, you've got to get onto the circuit and make your name, haven't you?
You tend to find that most of the big comedians who you'd find on your TV in the current situations, such as Jason Manford, John Bishop, they've all been going at it for quite a while. I mean, I know Jason Manford's first TV gig, so to speak, was 6 years after he started.
Mm-hmm.
So you've definitely got to plug away at it.
And what is your take on it? So, everyone seems to have a theme. You don't dress up, do you?
No, I don't dress up. I mean, I'm a 6'4", 92 stone guy. I don't think me dressing up's the answer to most problems. But to be fair,
it would be amusing.
It would be amusing, especially if it was in drag. But it's not going to be, thankfully.
No, Rob's going to take over that role, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You can come be the sidekick. I'll just stand there and go.
Brilliant. So look after me and dress
great.
On stage soon. Then,
yes, very much so. I tend to find that I was described once as a young comedian who's quite bubbly, but spends most of his time talking about women, bank letters, and the things in life that confuse him most.
Women and bank letters are pretty confusing at the start. So yeah. And what triggered this one? Was it just you were laughed at school for the right or the wrong reasons?
I was laughed at school for both the right and the wrong reasons. To be fair. I mean, I found that I wasn't the best looking kid at school, so I tried to develop a personality to meet girls, and it kind of worked, but I found that being funny was always something that I had a bit of a natural gift at, and I did the comedy course because I was doing the best man speech at my stepdad's wedding last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically a way to tone up the getting funny sort of thing for the speech, and it kind of worked, and I got took on as a gigging comedian.
So, best man speech. I've actually been made joint best man for one of my friend's weddings in about a year's time. Have you got any tips for a funny speech?
Get him to write it for you for starters.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm available for a fee. to be fair, I learned most of my stuff looking at websites, because there are a lot of good websites out there to learn about things like that. But I would say if you don't find it funny, not a lot of other people will. And it's as much about delivery as most comedies and confidence in terms of what you're saying. So if you go on stage, you're not going to be laughed at. So, well, you might be laughed at, but it's not for the right reasons. But I would suggest ripping into your groom, because he's never going to have a platform where he can't answer back for 5 minutes to 10 minutes. So take the advantage of the situation. It's very much a good idea.
I will definitely do that then, yeah.
But so you are available probably for that sort of thing. Have you you considered being rent a best man as well for those people who, unlike Rob's mate who's got a groom, he's got two best men. If they haven't got enough friends, would you consider going in again for a fee?
If the money's good enough, I'm open to most things.
There'll be free food.
Oh, that's definitely good for a big guy.
It's always the best way and the best reasons to go along to the wedding and the reception.
To be fair, I always found that weddings were good places to meet single women. Mm-hmm. And they all get that emotional feeling sometimes, so hopefully I'll be there to comfort them and give them a nice shoulder to cry on.
And point them towards the bouquet so they think they may be next.
Yes, very much so.
So what gigs have you had so far? So you started and stopped, so is it just sort of dipping your feet into the scene to see what's out there?
It was very much that at first. I mean, one of the things you have to break as a comedian is the willingness to rehearse. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't know your stuff, it's not funny if you're sitting there going, every five...
And you don't get an auto-cue for this,
No, you definitely don't get an auto-cue. You just get a very confused-looking bloke going, why isn't he saying anything on the front row? Mm-hmm. But... I kind of had a dip for the first 6 months, really liked it, but didn't have the time, sort of thing. And then I got back into it about a month and a half ago, sort of thing. I mean, the biggest gig I've played is a club called Highlight, which used to be known as Jonglers in Birmingham, mm-hmm. which was it was a nice sizeable gig, sort of thing. It's a nice sizeable room. It was, to be fair, because it was a new comedians gig, it wasn't the biggest crowd I've played in front of, but there is some cracking venues in this local area.
Yeah, well, I've been Phil Butler, who'll be hearing from a bit later on, who's obviously you may well have heard of on the circuit. I've been to see him in Brum, and he's top quality entertainer.
It's a thriving circuit. It's not got the reputation the likes of the Leeds comedy circuit. Leicester's especially a big one local. Mm-hmm. Edinburgh, obviously. London tends to have two circuits. There's one very good circuit and one quite awful one, and Manchester's another big place, but it's good to see the West Midlands as a comedy area coming up. I mean, if in Dudley there's a pub called The Lamp Inn, which was voted recently the best comedy venue in the local area, that they tend to gig every second Thursday of the month, and mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone gets a chance, you'll see some top comedians down there, especially the younger ones who are breaking their own bones, so to speak, and trying to get new.
Yeah, so someone like maybe John Richardson, who's one of the newer names on the circuit a few years ago, he's probably been going yonks now, but he still classes himself as a new comedian when you see him doing TV stuff.
Well, I think the thing is, until you've been seen regularly on TV, you're a new comedian to everyone, because mm-hmm. it's very rarely that, unless you're going back to the same gigs and the same haunts, that they're going to have heard your stuff before. I mean, mm-hmm. it's one of the nice things about being a new comedian is you are under pressure to initially write a good 10 minutes and then cut that down to 5, so you've got your best stuff, and then gradually build on it. Whereas if you see the likes of Kevin Bridges, Jack Whitehall, they did 2 tours after each other very quickly to take advantage of the popularity they'd built up. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, I know from a personal friend who knows them, so to speak, they struggled a little bit to get some of their new material to standard. So you tend to find that you are a new comedian until you're not a new comedian anymore, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And we've been talking to Susan Murray. She's been on a few times. And obviously, she's a local lass, although her parents are Scottish. She's from the Midlands. And the accent is something that she's worked with and used to her advantage. How do you think that's going to fare if you come to leave the area?
To be fair, I have gigged in Birmingham and I've had trouble understanding it, so you can imagine what it's going to be like when I get... I've got much further. To be fair, I know a Cornish girl who's a very good comedian. She's called Harriet Dyer. She kind of built it into her act that she spoke slightly slower and more farmery, I believe is how she sees, because she spoke that fast in a Cornish accent, no one could understand her.
No, having spent a week in Cornwall last week, I can see why, because they all talk strange down there. But lovely place to look at. Oh, just can't tell what everyone's saying in the shops.
It's an adventure.
Different country, I think. There we go.
So, out of the way.
Are you looking more towards actually spot work, or do you see yourself maybe becoming an MC? Because your presence, you know, and the personality that I'm getting so far, it does say MC and someone who's prepared to control an event.
To be fair, I'm looking to develop myself as a comedian more before taking that extra plunge. Because, I mean, I've known people who've done it and they've not succeeded very well at it, sort of thing, and it can ruin your confidence. And although I do believe that I could make that step in time, as I said, I'd like to make that step onto the professional circuit and turn professional, you would have to have that sort of experience as well anyway, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So get used to the crowds first and then work your way through into maybe...
Well, one of the key parts of being an MC or comp air, as most of them, I believe, are actually technically the industry term, is you have to be able to interact with crowds, mm-hmm. because that... Obviously, they're paying.
You've got to warm them up, haven't you?
Yeah, your job is almost to interlink acts, but also make it a bit easier for the acts, because if they're coming on cold, it can be a very harsh place to be, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to make sure you pick on the right ones in the front row as well, because they're going to be fodder for the whole night.
Yes.
That's never have the front row at a comedy gig.
Never be late on the front row.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah, that could be very, very bad. Well, look, stay with us. We'll be talking to you throughout. Find it out, and you can assess Rob's humour qualities throughout the rest of the episode. And,
yeah, it's like a live audition.
Because he's going to be. Yeah, well, we'll get you to do some stand up towards the end.
We'll see. We can enjoy that.
And then Rob can maybe try and work out a gag as well for his best man speech. So that is all on the way. First of all, though, about time we took some music, I think. And as I mentioned earlier on, we're hearing from Knoxville Highway today. Now, we'll be having one of their own original songs, but they've also been doing arrangements of various other tracks which have come from the country genre. First one we're going to hear is a Hank Williams tune. It's called Cold, Cold Heart.
I've tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just an evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words I said that make the teardrops start. And why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? It hurts to see you sit and cry. You know you need and want my love, yet you're afraid to try. Why do you run and hide from life to try it just a smart? Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? And there was a time when I believed that you belonged to me. But now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Can I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
So our first track there from Knoxville Highway, Cold Cold Heart, of course that cover of the Hank Williams song. Now we'll be talking to Bob Gessie from the band in a moment or two's time. However, Rob,
yes,
we spoke earlier on Twitter.
We did.
And when are you doing your musical piece for us?
I might need the words.
Well, what was it you were in?
Oh, the Pirates of Penzance about 11 years ago. I was the principal role. I played the police chief.
So you're going to sing something from Pirates of Penzance for us?
Do you really want me to
end of the show?
Torture the ears.
End of the
show.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's also so we've got your humour, your singing, and Luke doing some stand up for us as well. That's all on the way.
Just because it's the birthday edition.
It is. And because it is the birthday edition, we've had a few special messages in, one of which has come from David Lindblad of our sister podcast, The Fistful of Podcasts. Now, he, of course, co hosted with me for the programme which you picked up over the weekend. But He wanted to send us a special greeting, and this is what we've had.
Hey, everyone. This is Dave from A Fistful of Podcasts. And when I heard that our sister podcast, The Milk Bar, was reaching its 100th episode, I knew that something special had to be done. Being intensely lazy myself, I passed the job off to my head writer, Ben. I said, craft me an accurate account of the origins of The Milk Bar. He worked on it for a fortnight, and what follows is an actual, accurate account of the life and times of Jason Forrest and the Milk Bar. It was a foggy Tuesday night in London when Jason formulated the idea that would become the Milk Bar. As he did every Tuesday night, he was at his flat pounding pint after frothy pint of Churchill's Delight, a unique drink brewed deep below the Tower of London where the bodies of traitors were once bled like so many pigs. Life was harsh in the City of Angels, but even more so in London, center of Victoria and the only place in the world where you could get politely stabbed for your monocle. Jason knew he would not last long unless he could find a way to rake in a few pence, and since a terrible beekeeping accident had left him blind and poor by 10 guineas, he thought he should use his voice, which was voted least convoluted by his mum's water polo team. He felt his way to the window with his white-tipped cane and shouted, "I'm going to be a podcaster!" He took his father's Enfield rifle from its place beside the window and fired 10 rounds rapid into the air to frighten the sheep-like peasants on the streets of Whitechapel below. They scattered like flies, and Jason laughed like the kings of old whom he hoped to emulate. Podcasting wasn't free, so he knew he needed to scare up a crown or two however he had to. Who is the richest man in Whitechapel, he wondered aloud as he felt his way to the door or porticus. I know who, he said to himself on the lift, or what Americans called a ghetto stairs. I'm going to Old Man Tyson, the youngest man on the Thames. One trolley ride later, Jason stood upon the sooty doorstep of Tyson's Riverside Mansion, which stood 3 stories above the shark-infested waters. He knocked and knocked and knocked until the master of the mansion that Milk built came to the door. Yes, he said, seeing the blind future podcaster standing there. Do you want money or something? Why, yes, I do. I have heard of your milk empire and envy how you hold Whitechapel in your iron grip. Come inside, lad, and I shall impart to you the secrets of cow milking and ducking your creditors, said Tyson, and ushered him inside. The mighty door closed, and Jason wasted no time in plunging his Bowie knife into the Milk King's back, killing him as dead as Wellington's enemies. He worked quickly, stuffing everything in the house that felt expensive into the bag with the pound sign on it. He left the house a rich man and quickly made his blind way to the local fence. Behind the protective fence was the fence he needed to translate his burgled riches into money. Against all odds, he got away with it and was soon ready to invest in his podcast idea. Standing upon the angled roof of his flat, he bellowed to the shivering populace of Whitechapel, saying, "You thought the Ripper was bad? Well, just wait until you see what I've got under my coat!" He threw his trench coat down, revealing... Ben, have you even listened to 1 episode of The Milk Bar? This sounds like you just made up a story with references to England and milk. Oh, he's got a note. Oh, it's an excuse. I thought you wouldn't notice. That's brilliant, Ben. Terrific. 4 weeks it took you. Jesus. Anyway, from everyone here at A Fistful of Podcasts, we'd just like to say congratulations to Jason with his completion of the 100th episode of The Milk Bar. We couldn't have done it without you, I'm sure. So, again, thanks for all you do, and thanks for making us your sister podcast. Congrats, everybody.
Thank you, and thank you, David and Ben. We're still not completely convinced that Ben exists. No one's ever heard him speak. You're like quite quiet sometimes, but...
I am, but I'm here.
Yeah, yeah, definitely
and
here.
I'm sure Ben's there.
Yeah, okay, you're believing, are you? If you enjoyed that, and talking with Luke, you're quite impressed with his voice, aren't you?
He did, he said he's very listenable.
Well, he's actually got an audio book, which he, because he doesn't think he's listenable enough, he's had a proper American actor read for him. And there's an audio book from Fistful of Podcasts available. If you go to fistfulofpodcasts.com, you can hear about the Benish Inquisitions. And quite disturbingly, I feature as a character in his story. And it's quite odd. I was listening to it in the gym this morning, and it's very strange hearing yourself referred to.
Is it your autist?
It's sadly not. No cash. But he has sent us a nice greeting. But there we go. Now, we're sat here at Molyneux recording. And looking out the window, those pigeons are scaring me. They're eating all the seed on the grass.
It looks beautiful as well.
It does. And there's this like host of pigeons that have made their way from one side of the pitch to the other. They've gone from the Steve Bull to the Billy Wright side. And they're scaring me. They look like rats from this distance, but there we go. Should we get on with the rest of the programme?
Why not?
Should we talk Let's talk to Bob Gessie then, who's been hanging on the phone for ages now. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you, Jason? How are you?
I'm all right. I thought you might have given in, to be fair, by the time it came to you. Now, last time we spoke, you had the dubious delight of helping your colleague carry a double bass up some stairs in a football stadium.
That's right, yes, I remember it well.
It was an odd experience, that one. Is it your first stadium gig as well, I think, wasn't it, really?
That's right, yeah.
But it was good to have you down for that one. But you, as we've already heard, your current musical work is a bit of a change from what we heard with Stool Pigeon.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Stool Pigeon is still running, mm-hmm. but like most musicians, we're always looking for new challenges, and the field of country was an opportunity that arose, and I thought, yes, I've got to do that. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
So tell us a bit about the band. How many are you, and what's the makeup of the instruments?
It's a trio. I play guitar and banjo as well, and I do the singing. And then we got an electric guitar player and another bass player, strangely enough. He's a blues country, a lot of influences. So that's pretty much the lineup, and it really does rock, you know.
Yeah, well, we're enjoying what we've heard so far. I've said we've had the Hank Williams cover thus far. But yeah. You're doing some work on your own tunes as well, and one that you've written is what we're actually going to hear next. So just tell us a bit about what you're working on when you come to write these songs.
Well, the song Knoxville Highway was the tip of the hat, I suppose, to Hank Williams himself, mm-hmm. who actually died on Knoxville Highway. It's a long story. I've always written songs, and working in the sort of country sort of genre, I wanted to sort of write down that song as being almost a story of the project that we're all on, you know, the country band being Knoxville Highway and the journey itself, really. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different hidden messages there, but it's a nice good track as well. It really motors. It's a driving song, I would suggest.
Yeah, well, I've had a quick listen to it. I've not heard all of it yet. I should be sitting back and enjoying it in a moment or two's time. But yeah, certainly it's got a big opening intro, and yep. it sounds jolly good fun, to be honest. I think that's probably and that's one thing about country songs. They can either be fun or depressing, can't they?
Yeah, I suppose which side of the fence he comes on, really. But, I mean, if you look back at some of the greatest artists, you know, Elvis, Carl Perkins, you know, moving through to Johnny Cash, you know, worldwide names, they've all had their feet or 2 feet in country music. And if you get through the cowboy hats and the actual, you know, the face that it gives you, if you get through that, there's some really, really good, talented musicians, talented songwriters, and some great tracks, if I'm being really truthful.
And some great singers. And Luke, you were compared Bob's voice to a bit of Elvis earlier on, didn't you?
I did when I first heard it. I actually thought you were playing some. I was quite surprised. It was very early Elvis, but Elvis also.
Is that what you're going for there, do you reckon? Is there some of that rawness of Mr. Presley from his early days?
Well, I'm very complimented by somebody comparing me to Elvis, but but I don't know, really. You know, I just sing the songs as they presented themselves, really. So thanks for the compliment.
You're more than welcome.
So country music, it's not heard much in the charts these days. There's so much out there, but it's not you know, around the top 40 as much. Do you ever think it could make some kind of a comeback?
I think, yeah, I suppose it does. But the songs have got to be good, haven't they? And I think any kind of good, catchy song will punch through, I think, eventually. You know, the modern music scene seems to be heavily dominated with drum and bass and you know, bits of other tunes that they sample, you know. So
what do you think the last country song really to make it into the charts was on its own right? We wouldn't be talking something by Garth Brooks, would we? Would it be that bad?
Well, The one that comes tricks to mind is, you know, the Shania Twain's sort of stuff.
It has got a very country feel, hasn't it?
Yeah, and Trisha Yearwood and some of those. And Alison Krauss. I mean, Alison Krauss was Bluegrass Revival. Mm-hmm. She won Grammys with Robert Plant, for God's sake, with her music. Mm-hmm. So it's there, you know, the music's sort of there. And I just think people, a lot of people, they think, oh, country tag, oh, I won't like country because it's all, you know, it's all cowboy hats and cowboy boots, you know. But if you go through that, you get there's a lot of quality music there, and, you know, I think there's something there for everybody, personally.
So are the trio gigging at the minute? So are you heading off around the area?
Yeah, well, we're doing quite a few type showcases around the area. I think it's the 14th of August. We're at the Emerald Club in Wolverhampton, all being well.
Mm-hmm.
21st of May, we're at the Red Lion in Shirley in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And the 22nd, the following night, we're at the Pavilions Club in Shenstone.
So that's a bit out of the way for you. So you're still based down in Worcester as well?
No. I'm based in Warsaw.
Oh, right. I never realised you were actually in Warsaw.
No. Warsaw, yeah, Aldridge is where I'm.
It's much classier than Warsaw if it's Aldridge.
Bigger class of country, you see. We try to be as busy as we can. You know, going towards the autumn, we've got a few gigs further afield down in Devon and that. You know, for sort of country weekends that they have,
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just putting ourselves around, really.
Well, good luck with that. I suppose we can find out all about what you've got going on the website, can't we?
Yeah, the website is www.knoxvillehighway.co.uk.
And pop yourself on there. You can see the band, you can download some of the tunes, gigs, song lists, all sorts.
Yeah, that's it.
And you can even get in touch if you want to book the band to appear somewhere.
Yeah, that's it, Jason. Great.
Okay, well, we'll take a listen now to your self-titled tune, Knoxville Highway. Anything else that you want to add about this one as we go in and listen to it?
No, just any feedback anybody wants to give, great. But it's a good song. It's a rocking little song and played by a great band.
Sit back, tap your feet to a self-professed great band there, Knoxville Highway.
Yeah, great.
Keep my motor running. Got the power under me. I can feel the bumpy road of life beneath my feet. Leaving this old city, hear the engine roar. The marks upon the highway say I can't wait anymore. A suitcase full of memories, guitar on my seat. Of songs, of hopes and dreams, a destiny to keep. Foot down on the pedals, destination hope. It lies on the horizon like a lazy haze of smoke. Knoxville Highway, that's the road I ride. Knoxville Highway, that's the place to hide. Directions, I don't need satellites, and I don't need a woman to complicate my life. I mark my ambition, footprints in the sand. I just want an audience and a plug-in country band. Knoxville Highway, that's the road I ride. Knoxville Highway, that's the place to hide for 100 miles. Hope it It lies on the horizon like a lazy haze of smoke. Knoxville Highway, that's the road I ride. Knoxville Highway, that's the place to hide. For 100 miles. For 100 miles. For 1,000 miles. For 1,000,000 miles. For 1,000,000,000 miles.
Hello guys, Phil Butler here from the Green Room Podcast. Just checking in to wish you all a very, 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 very happy 100th birthday. Who would have thought that it would last more than 3 episodes? My God. Here's to another 100. Cheers guys, speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
And thanks to Phil from the Green Room Podcast for joining us there. In fact, a man who has his own comedy club. Do you want us to put you in touch, Luke?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll take the booking.
I think it's down in Watford. The Giggling. But check out thegiggling.co.uk. Have a look at that one.
Oh, very much.
And he has some very good acts down there. So well worth popping on to that one to maybe watch and get a few tips from at some point.
Yeah, you can always learn from other comedians.
You can. Now, Rob, I have to switch your microphone on. We have our next guest.
Ah, brilliant.
Okay, which is Philip Solomon. Hello, sir.
Hello, Josh, and how are you, my old friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Very, very busy, which is good at these difficult times.
Absolutely manic. You've got events going on with demonstrators to clairvoyancy all over the place, and a brand new book as well.
I have, in a new haunted series that I write for the History Press. It's Haunted Telford, my very latest effort.
Now, we were talking at the top of the show and saying, now, Telford, there's lots of it which are quite new, but there are older parts, like Madeley, I suppose, if you head out to Much Wenlock. So there's going to be a lot of places with a lot of history.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think a lot of ghost stories come from those days, you know, from the Industrial Revolution, when Telford was so very important, and before that, of course, when it was a very, very important farming and agricultural area. A lot of people forget that, of course, Jason.
Yep.
A lot of stories come from those days, but what I've gone for in my new Haunted Book series is a lot of new stories as well. You know, we have a lot of new stories in there. It's really fascinating, really. It really is.
I suppose the impression that's left behind, which turned to ghosts that people see, can come at any time. So it might be a more recent event that triggers something like this.
Well, absolutely, Jason. I think that's an excellent point. I mean, I think a few years ago, perhaps 20 or 30 years ago, we used to read ghost books, and they were always, you know, the Headless Horseman from 1861 and all that sort of things, you know. But, I mean, I've sort of tried very hard to sort of bring the paranormal up to date, especially with in the ghost hunting community. And as you say, a ghost can be of an incident that happened yesterday or last week. And some of them are. I mean, I've got stories in there from Haunted Telford, which are very, very modern stories. I think they're just as fascinating, if not more so, than the traditional historical ones, you know.
Although, I suppose, though, if it's something like some paranormal activity that gives an apparition, which is wearing, you know, maybe tracky bottoms and a T-shirt, people are less likely to notice it than they would do your odd Headless Horseman.
Well, it's a good point. Again, another thing that I always say, I mean, you've known me a good many years, Jason, and if I'm doing a story or doing a lecture, perhaps, about haunted happenings, I'll always turn around and sort of say, well, who in the room has actually seen a ghost? And you start off maybe 5 out of every 100 people sticking their hands up. And then you say, well, you must realise that some ghosts are so real, so natural, and rather like you in dress, that, you know, would you accept the possibilities that you may have seen a ghost of that night? And of course you get about 70% of the hands go up then, you know. It's a good point that you make, it really is, yeah.
Now you mentioned, obviously the Headless Horseman's a classic ghost story, but have you got a favourite ghost story that stands out above others?
Well, are you talking about my new book, Haunted Telford?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what I would say is a fascinating story that a lass from Telford told us about a taxi driver. And what it was, this guy had picked up a customer, you know, been called out to come and pick up a customer, actually. And he'd gone to a particular hotel to pick that person up, but there was no record of the call had come through at all. They didn't know what it was about. But the guy at the hotel had had this happen before, and the taxi driver apparently did did a bit of investigation of the story, and it was a call that used to come through from someone who'd had an association at this particular building. And, you know, it was a regular thing. People get called out. There was, what I'm saying, basically, there were ghosts. And this guy had investigated the story and gone to this particular... I mean, we can't give too much details away because I want to flog the book, you know. but he'd gone to the house of this particular girl, and the girl who'd made the call, you know, she was no more. And but the taxi drivers were showed her little red coat in her cupboard. It's a fascinating story, that one. And it's a modern one, Jason. Mm-hmm. It's a modern one.
You can read the, all of that in the book. How many ghost stories have you been able to pick up from around that area? Because I know you've been quite careful about including only ones that you've got some credence behind.
Absolutely, Jason. I mean, what, you know, obviously I have my own column in the Express and Star and links to the Telford papers, and obviously, you know, I write for Take a Break, Fate and Fortune magazine. So, you know, I get literally hundreds of stories once I ask for them, you know. Mm-hmm. But if I'm honest with you, Jason, we have to whittle them down. And, you know, you can find an answer to most of them, but some you just can't. And those are the ones that make the book, mm-hmm. basically, because those are the ones that are real. You can't explain them, and those are what people want to read about. We'll drop a few in as examples of what could be, you know, understood and seen as the norm, because I think that's a good thing for the readers too. But 99% of the book are real, true paranormal experiences, ghosts and hauntings, if you like, that cannot be explained. And as I say, it's a series, really. We wrote Haunted Black Country a couple of years ago, and that's become a local bestseller. We've just done this one, Haunted Telford, and we're just working and researching on Haunted Staffordshire. So that comes out next year, and obviously we hope it's a part of a very big series. But that has been the hook with these books. We, you know, we've been very selective, you know. If someone's just come up and told you a little tale that they've heard, that their Auntie Mary heard, blah, 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 they're not in the book. These are real fascinating stories that are from real people and true stories.
You mentioned Haunted Staffordshire there, Phil. I've just mentioned that I am actually from Staffordshire, so you got me quite worried now. are there many ghost stories in and around Staffordshire there?
Well, it looks like it. I mean, and again, we're putting the pitch out there, you know, and it looks like it. I mean, there's some very incredibly strange experiences that go on. I mean, I've always had close associations to the theatre there, the Prince of Wales Centre. I've appeared there several times with my clairvoyance show, you know, and they've got tales of ghosts and strange goings on there.
And again, quite a modern building there as well.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter, you see. You made an excellent point. People assume that a haunting or a ghost is something from hundreds of years ago. You know, it can be from something that happened yesterday. Of course, there's a difference in a ghost and a spirit. I mean, you know, I mean, I think some people get a little bit mixed up with that, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a ghost, it's generally just a replay of something that's happened. I mean, I was on an investigation a few weeks back, very strange experience that we had over in Stourbridge. And I picked up that there'd been an accident outside this pub, Rose and Crown, I think, in Wordsley, I think.
Mm-hmm, I know the one.
And that I felt that there were some very strange energies in the sort of crossroads that laid out there in front of it, if you know the building, Jason. Mm-hmm. And I just felt there were very strange energies. I said, there's always been problems here. I feel it very, very strongly. Well, of course, years ago, they used to bury people at crossroads if, you know, it was a suicide or it was a criminal or something like that. That will build those energies up, you say. Within 5 minutes, a car careered into the middle of the road and knocked the ballards out. Everybody on the investigation was absolutely gobsmacked. But I'm not saying that that really linked. That probably was a coincidence. But, of course, we must remember ghosts are replays of things that have happened in the ether over and over again. Whereas a spirit, you know, I'm a very spiritual type of guy, and I believe that our spirit, our soul or whatever, that's the energy that's spirit energy, and that goes on to heaven, nirvana, the spirit world, whatever you want to call it, and goes on forever. Ghosts are generally just replays of things that have happen, you know, to people, to experience, mm-hmm. sometimes not pleasant, sometimes very pleasant, and sensitives replay them, you know. Well, this book's full of them.
Well, when I was actually down in Cornwall last week, and one of the National Trust properties I visited, there was one of the, obviously the guides tell you some of the tales of the houses,
sure.
And they were talking about how they believe there's a ghost of maybe one of the servants who worked there, and the way they can tell she's around is a sudden smell of lavender.
Yes, and of course that's a good point. I mean, of course, years ago lavender was a very popular fragrance for ladies historically, as the fragrance of violets, and I suppose that can help you to sort of date place something, you know. That's a good example. The first question I'd have asked there, you said, have you ever communicated with her? Has she spoken to you? Because if you've only seen a fleeting glimpse or a smell of a fragrance, that's probably what we're talking about, a ghost or a haunting. But when you get communication, that tends to be a spirit, really, you know, Jason.
And that's... it's when you're looking for, say, multiple witnesses to an event or a repeating event to put it together and see whether it's just a spirit who is there passing through or possibly just a replay you're talking about with a ghost.
Well, of course you have. I mean, whenever I do an investigation, I always look for the normal before I claim the paranormal. Goodness gracious me, there's an awful lot of people out there in the media, even, isn't there, really, who seem to, you know, they'll sort of stake a case to almost anything to coin a phrase, but I will not do that. You've got to look for the normal and find out if there's an answer to a particular haunting. I remember one that we're researching in this book, Haunted Telford, and I won't say what the building is because it's not made the book and the person's story didn't get in, but they'd got a smell of lavender again, strangely enough. That's what made it come to my mind. In an upstairs building, I wanted to get the floorboards up there. Oh, you can't do that. Well, we have to. This was my view. I'll go on then, have a little look. We got the floorboards up. Downstairs, there was a vent that went out into the garden. Well, lavender was growing. Ghost explained.
Yeah, and sometimes it's very easy to find the answer to these things.
And this person was very cross. Sometimes people are very cross when you explain what their hauntings and ghosts are. They're popular today, aren't they?
Now, you mentioned a lot of people talk about these kind of thing in the media. Are you a fan of the things on Sky TV, such as things like Most Haunted and Ghost Hunters, things like that? Are you a fan of those things?
Well, I've never worked for Most Haunted. We come very close at one time. Actually, I started doing a screen test and actually chatting to them about doing some work, but we didn't go forward with it. I don't know. Sometimes things are just not meant to be or not quite right. I mean, I think what they have done, that particular group of people, is brought the paranormal to the general public. And, I mean, I suppose a lot of the more, some of the more serious investigators sort of knock that sort of thing, don't they? But, I mean, I think it has brought it into the public eye. I'm more concerned, really, about mediumship with those things. I mean, I think the problem is now, when I was young, I mean, I come from a family of mediums, as you know, Jason, and every town had got perhaps one medium or one perhaps recognised psychic. Today, almost every street's got half a dozen. And I think some of the TV programmes have brought that about. And I do wonder at times about someone's... Well, not everyone's, but some of the people's intentions. I'm sure that they believe that they have that gift. But in my experience over the years, it's far rarer than what you really realise, you know. I mean, I think almost anybody who's worked with me, I'll not put you on the spot there, my boy, but I think almost anybody who's worked with me will have had strange experiences around me, and that's the proof in the pudding, isn't it? But, I mean, my work, I suppose, is with the clairvoyance, the mediumship, but I've always been fascinated by parapsychology. And, of course, I suppose the main area of that would be ghosts and hauntings, wouldn't it, you know?
Are you still doing your ghost walks around the area, or are they taking a bit of a break for the summer?
Well, we cut them back in the summer, Jason. We still do Willinall. It used to be the first Wednesday of the month, and we used to do Dudley. But with the very light nights coming, we just keep it down to perhaps the quarterly now, do them on the quarterly. There's Wordsley again, which we're doing one over there as well. They always tend to be, you know, you can always pick that up on my Facebook, really, or on my website. But we don't do them every week in the summer because it's too light, really, you know. We prefer to keep it for the winter, you know.
Well, give us the web address for starters, and where can people find you?
Well, it's www.philipsolomon.pwp.blueyonder.co.uk.
And if people want to get hold of the book, Haunted Telford, is that via your publisher?
Well, it is, and it's Haunted Telford, and it's published by the History Press... And again, they have a website, which is www.thehistorypress.co.uk. It's $9.99, but I'll be a little bit naughty here just for you, Jason. Mm-hmm. If you go on Amazon.com just at the moment, you can get it. It's a pound or 150 cheaper on there. So, you know, in times of recession, look after your fans, as they say.
Yep, and pop along to Amazon and pick it up that way, or direct by the publisher.
Or all good bookshops. By next week, I should think all the shops will have it on the shelves. Most of them have got it now.
Okay. Phil, thank you, as ever, for joining. It's always good to talk to you, mate.
And, always great to speak to you, mate.
We've got to catch up outside of doing stuff in the media at some point. Have a sit down in the natter in the very near future.
Shouldn't we do that just very shortly? And I know the wonderful work you do down at Wolverhampton, mm-hmm. for the Wolverhampton football team.
Yep.
And maybe the end of the season, either a celebration or otherwise. I'm going to say celebration at least at this moment.
I'm hoping for a party.
Everything crossed, eh?
Yeah, that's the way to do it. It was a good result last weekend against the Albion. We just need to repeat that.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, two more games, please, and six points to be wonderful.
Great to speak to you, Jason.
Cheers, Phil. Catch you later. Bye-bye. For now. Bye. Right, let's take some more music from Knoxville Highway. This is their take on the Eagles tune, Take It Easy.
Seven women on my mind. For the one I owe me to, the one who stole me once, says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drag her crazy. Lighten up while you can. Don't even try to understand. Find a place to make your stand. Take it easy. Well, I'm standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Save me. We may lose, we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm piling in. Take it easy. Crazy. We may lose, we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. Take it easy. Oh,
Bob Gessy with Knoxville Highway and their arrangement of that song by the Eagles, Take It Easy. Enjoy that?
Very much, Charles. Very much.
Bopping along.
Yeah.
And preparing yourself mentally for your musical interlude in
the
moment.
Yeah, getting in the zone.
Yeah, and Luke, are you ready? We'll let you actually take the mic and stand up in a bit for your stand-up bit. Okay.
We'll do that.
That's on the way. Meanwhile, we do have another birthday message now. And this one comes from David Whitehead, who's one of the writers, again, comedy writer for BBC Six Music.
Okay.
Works on all the shows during the week.
Yeah.
And co-hosts with John Holmes on his Saturday afternoon show. Now, don't feel left out. He mentions Natalie because Natalie was in the week that he was on.
Okay.
And
she's
due to return and should have been here this week to enjoy the Natalie-ness of the next message. I think, is that a word? Oh, I just made that up.
That works.
So we will listen to this. Is a special message from BBC Six Music.
So, David, what are we doing?
We've been asked, John, to say happy 100th show to the Milk Bar podcast.
The Milk Bar?
The Milk Bar with Jason and Natalie.
With Jason and Natalie.
Yeah.
Not Natalie and Jason.
No, specifically, it's got to be Jason and Natalie.
Right.
Got to be.
Okay. Is that a legal thing?
I think so. Okay. I think I find it is. So, well, should we, after three or something? Or
what are we doing?
Can't say happy. What do you sing happy birthday or happy 100th show? Or what do you do? Should we sing it? Or what do we do? What do you want to do?
Yeah, sing it.
Okay. One, two, three. Happy 100th show. 100th show.
Right.
One, two.
What?
On what count?
Okay.
One, two, three. Happy 100th show to you. Happy 100th show to you. Happy 100th show, dear Milk Bar.
Milk Bar. With Natalie and Jason.
Jason and Natalie. Happy 100th show to you. And many more.
Not many more.
Oh,
not that many. A few more. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, we'll go now.
Thank you to John Holmes there, and of course David Whitehead, who was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now, are you ready yet, Rob?
Am I ready?
We're gonna have some stand-up comedy, and then you're going to sing for us.
I'm going to sing us out?
Yeah.
You're going to trust me to sing us out on the 100th birthday show?
Well, they have actually just said there, you know, not many more, and this could be the end could be the end of things. So,
there is the potential that he does upstage me with the hilarity of his singing.
There is this, Luke, so you might want to employ him as a comedy stooge at some point later on. But first of all, it is. Should you have entrance music at this point?
To be fair, I usually just take the applause, because that's one thing that I do like about stand-up comedy. You always get applause before you go on, and thus you at least get one round of it.
Okay, well, that's a yes, and then they throw things to get you off stage. Right, okay, so we'll imagine our compere as just introduced, the one and only Luke Regan. Round of applause.
It is an honour to be here, as I've said before. I've never performed at Molyneux Stadium before. We're only going to keep it short due to time constraints, as we've said, but when I talk about doing my stand-up comedy, ladies and gents, I tend to focus on the things that confuse me about growing up. Now, one of the things that confuses me most is the hilarity that is my family. My family, ladies and gents, when I decided that I was taking up stand-up comedy, decided to discuss who they thought I reminded them of. So I'm sitting down, my mum says to me, says, son, who do you think you're going to be like? And I said, mum, I haven't got a clue, I haven't done that many gigs. Who do you think I'll be like now? Jason, have you got any guesses who my mum thought I'd be like?
No polite ones.
See, I usually get the Michelin Man or Pavarotti, so I've got anything's a bonus.
You could have a Tash and Singo compare, but...
Oh, I've never had that one. I'm very gutted with that answer, I've got to be honest. Now, my mum, ladies and gents, seemed to think that I remind her of James Corden. But then again, I think any fat guy that's told a joke in the last 3 years has had that one.
Yeah, but he's not funny either, so...
Oh. Oh, to be fair, that could compare quite well with me. Then
heckling going on.
I've never been heckled before. I ain't got no clean put downs either.
Oh dear.
The second one, my nan can sense my disappointment at these folks. My nan comes up to me and says, "Son, I think that you remind me of Robbie Coltrane." Yes, ladies and gents, my nan thinks it's going to cheer me up that she thinks I look like Hagrid. But finally, ladies and gents, my step nan. Bless her, she's 82. She comes out with an absolute pearler. My stepnan, ladies and gents, because, son, they all refer to me as son. There's only one of them give birth to me, I promise you. They all say to me, son, says, you remind me of Lenny Henry. Now, this struck for me an absolute moral dilemma. Why does my stepnan think not my reminder of Lenny Henry? Now, I started thinking to myself, where could this come from? I mean, James Corden, he's a fat guy. Robbie Coltrane, he's tall and stocky. But Lenny Henry, a white dawn fringe. Maybe. I started thinking to myself, I mean, it's got to be the accent. I mean, it can't be anything else, because, I mean, it's not like I walk around the house going, oh, yeah, everything's Premier, but the rent. To be fair, I was tempted to go at the end, you go, well, I lead you on her and go, yeah, is it because I is black? But I thought, no, she'd probably come back with a response, it's because you're a fat yam yam whose voice goes too high when he gets excited. But I did eventually ask her, and I said, Mrs. S, because that's what I call my stepdad, ladies and gents, Mrs. Smith. Mrs. S, is it the accent? She goes, no. She goes, is it because I'm a fat guy? She goes, it's no. I says, what is it then? She says, you're black. I went, take your sunglasses off. Well, that's it from me, ladies and gents. If you want to hear any more, I am on Facebook, Luke Regan Comedy. I'm also on Twitter, Regan Comedy. Thank you very much.
But you are also doing some, a round of applause first of all, I think, there. But you're also doing some charity stuff as well at the moment, in full, you know, comedian styling.
In full comedian styling. I was very touched when, unfortunately, Dean Richards passed away at the end of February. He was the first Wolves player that I ever saw, if you get what I'm saying. He was the first Wolves player that I've ever seen to play pass away. The hilarity is still going to be there. I mean, not that situation's hilarious, but I'm a 19-stone guy doing a half marathon.
A half marathon?
I'm doing the Great North Run.
You're not even able to remember Snickers when they were called marathons.
No,
probably,
I am.
So it's not even a gag to be had in there.
I know, it would definitely be the full marathon. Yeah. Snickers. I'm running for a hospice called St. Gemma's, which is the hospice where Dean Richards passed away.
Mm-hmm. And it was up in Leeds.
It's in Leeds, yes. Yep. It's quite near to his home in Bradford. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all right. I've raised a tenth of my target so far, but I'm not running for 5 months. If you'd like, anyone would be interested in sponsoring me for the cause, my Just Giving account is justgiving.com/reg. That's REEG. It's going to be a challenge. But you've gathered, I like the adventure.
Yeah, well, so. What is the fitness regime that's going to come first? Are you just going to wing it or maybe roll?
Well, to be fair, I described it as the Great North walk, jog, crawl, walk, jog. I did start running. I actually lost the best part of a stone. I went from 20 to 19 stone and then I hurt my foot. So I'm kind of taking it down a little peg and then I'm trying to get back into it. I've got 4 months to get up for it and I have got a mate who's a personal trainer and he's helping.
So that will hopefully, fingers crossed, make things work properly.
Well, I have said that if I don't make 2 hours, I'm going to donate 50 quid myself.
Okay.
On top of everything. So
you're looking two at 13 and a bit miles in two hours.
Which is it's a slow club runner's pace.
Yeah. I could probably walk it in 4, but
I'm deceptively fit.
Yeah.
I mean, I play rugby and American football, so...
And you're not the ball?
No, I'm not the ball. I hit people and I hit them hard.
Thanks for that reminder. I should keep quiet from here on in.
I'll just quickly jump in, because I've done a couple of half marathons, actually. I did the Birmingham one a couple of years back, and I did the Birmingham one again the year after that. And I did very little training for that, and I managed 1:50.
But you're a stick. You just look like a stick.
You have a certain amount of natural fitness, I imagine.
I didn't. I used to be quite big when I was
younger. Don't get me wrong. I'm in shape. A circle is still a shape. But it's definitely a case of I am going to have to work at it. But to be fair, rationale and clever and smart decisions have never been my forte.
If you can do it, I say, well, good luck to you. And the cash is going to the right place. And who cares? If you don't do it, you can have the donations.
Oh,
anyway.
I'm very much going to do it. And I will, even if I have to walk around or sit on a skateboard and get my mates to push me.
Yeah.
I have also managed to rope a baggie into doing it.
Really?
Yes.
Are they going dressed as a throstle?
No, he's not. He's on about doing it in his shirt. He was on about doing it in a Wolves shirt if we thought it'd make more money. I'm hoping to get in contact with our club, Bradford, Southampton and Tottenham. We've running for Dean on the back and hopefully I can get a bit more publicity for it close to the time.
Mm-hmm. So well, good luck with that one and good luck with the whole event. And what Thank are you trying much. To raise? What's your total target?
I've set myself 500 quid at the minute. Mm-hmm. The charity asks for a minimum of 300, but I feel that with the generous people of Wolverhampton and the generous people that I know, I should hopefully manage to get a bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. So give us that Just Giving page again.
It's justgiving.com/reeg. That's REEG.
REEG is what you're looking for there. Luke Regan is the man who's going to do it, fingers crossed, in less than 2 hours. Well, I hope it's going to be 2 hours and 1 minute, so you have to put 50 quid in. That's what I'm looking for there.
Yeah, well, maybe if I do it in 1:59, I might put 25 in and you can put the other
25. We'll talk about this later. But good luck with that one. Do have a good run,
thank
literally.
You very much.
And good luck with the comedy and the way that comes
thank
together.
You.
Now, this is your big moment, Rob. There's a copy of the words. It's a policeman's lot is not a happy one. And you are now going to perform some of this for us.
Well, we say perform.
Wail. You can do backing vocals over there?
I can do backing vocals, very much so.
That'd be great.
That would help me out quite a lot.
Yeah, so...
How much do you want me to do? It's quite a long song, so I could just do the first chorus
you. Get going.
And then you can tell me to shut up if you want
me to.
And
then, yeah, we might just stop you at some point. Okay?
What we did... in our fantastic performance of the Pride of Penzance, that's many years ago, when the last two words of every line, all my fellow policemen behind me would repeat... So if you two could repeat that. So, for example, the first line is, when a felon's not engaged in his employment, you'd sing his employment.
Right. And then, employment.
Exactly.
Very nice to rehearse there.
Oh, sorry. Thank
yep.
you.
Perfectly. So if we do that, then it might sound a little bit more interesting, a little bit more better.
Right, I can't sing at all. So I just should just leave that to your star and backing vocals.
We can do that if you want.
Okay. Here we go.
Without music as well, so completely acoustic.
No music, fully acoustic, a cappella. This is taken from the Pirates of Penzance with... some beatboxing in the background. Mr. Rob Fletcher.
I apologise in advance.
Me too.
When a felon's not engaged in his employment.
His employment.
Or maturing his felonious little plan.
Little plan.
His capacity for innocent enjoyment.
Innocent enjoyment.
It's just as great as any honest man.
Honest man.
Our feelings with difficulty smother.
Difficulty smother.
When constabulary duties to be done.
To be done.
Taking one consideration with another.
Another.
A policeman's lot is not a happy one.
Happy one.
When constabulary duties to be done. To be done. A policeman's lot is not a happy one.
Who cares about super injunctions or what Twitter can do with them? Twitter bought us Rob performing with excellent backing, probably slightly more in tune backing. From
thank
Luke
you.
Ringer,
yes,
that
thank
was
you.
Absolutely.
Thank excellent. You so much for helping me out.
After I think that's the first time I've ever been described as in tune.
So compared to Rob, I could be.
This is true. This is very true.
We had an open training session down here at Molyneux. It was somebody's birthday. I suggested we should all sing. It was just me. Which was really bad.
Oh, is that where the rain's come from?
Yeah, it's been rain constantly since, but there we go. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the last 100 episodes. I haven't worked at how many downloads we've had over the last almost 2 years, but it's quite a frighteningly large number, I'm quite pleased to say. Thank you to Rob.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to join you on your special show.
No problem. And thank you also, of course, to Zoe, who sadly couldn't be with us because she's still poorly bad and a bit lazy. We were hoping to hear from Nina this week, but she's poorly bad and got a sore throat. Natalie, who knows where she's got to? She's supposed to be
disappeared somewhere.
Yeah, cheers to Claire Diamond for her work over the few months over Christmas. And also to Jean Martin, who's also joined us as one of our co-hosts in the past. We'll play you out with our usual theme tune and say thanks again for joining us for what has been our 100th episode.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.